The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Of course, this is not Aaron's Green voice. This is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, Aaron is out today, and she said, Nuri, I know it's a sports day, but I ain't gonna be here. And she know that I don't really necessarily care for sports. But she said, man, hold on to the show and find something sportish to talk about. And I said, boy, this can be an effort for me. And I said, nah, I could do this. I can host a sports-oriented show and twist it, manipulate it to be something that I am known for. Today, I have historical researcher, Christopher Davis with me. And my aspect of conversation is the culture of us and the culture of us regarding this Olympics 2024, which is held in France. I'm looking for a voice note I can send to the producer right now. Hopefully I'll be able to find it. I should have done that earlier, right? But this is what is my narrative for the culture of us. First of all, I want to commend all of the Bahamian athletes who made sacrifices, who put their shoulder to the wheel and qualified to go and represent the Bahamas, right? I want to commend them. I want to say thank you as a Bahamian, because what your sacrifices have done has given us the opportunity to cheer on, to be proud, and that's what the Olympics is about. One of my questions is, what is the Olympics about? Is it about winning medals? Do we go to the Olympics to win medals, or do we necessarily go to the Olympics to participate? Just participate and say, well, we qualified and we are amongst those who walk in. This particular Olympic Games, right, in France was different. It started off with all kind of controversy. Then as it went on, it made a number of Caribbean people, and by extension the Bahamas, and I'm going to keep it to the Bahamas, made a number of Bahamians uneasy regarding this particular Olympics activity during this year. And it caused a number of responses, critique, uneasiness maybe amongst Bahamians. And I want to interrogate that uneasiness. What caused the uneasiness? Should we be able to make critique of our athletes and welcome it? Or should we just be grateful in regards to our athletes? And to mind, it is what it is. But without further ado, let me reintroduce my guest, Christopher Davis, who is, a history... I keep on trying to get a great name for you.
Just call me historian and start playing, man.
I can call you historian, but the people don't write me, man. The people write me, and I'm trying to make sure that when they do listen, that they know I make an effort to call. Man, historian, man. I can call you Bahamian historian. See, I don't have to start over the words when I just call you that one time, right? Bahamian historian, Christopher Davis, right? How you doing?
Right there, man. Thanks for having me again. Good morning, and good morning, Bahamas.
Yes, and thank you very much for coming. Also looking for a Facebook post by Pauline Davis to read into records that have some commentary on that. Should that have happened? Is it acceptable? But let me ask you this. Is critiquing our athletes off limit? And when I say, I mean broadly critique and say, well, I didn't like that.
No, I definitely don't think it is. They are representing us. Sometimes, of course, it can get a bit toxic. And that's when you see it could be problematic. So when you have that toxic critique that spills over into abuse and all of these things, of course, that's when it's a bit toxic, right? But, of course, we know our athletes. We follow them. We love them regardless, win or lose. You know, that's what it is at the end of the day. And so some people are just more sensitive than others, and they may take critique a little more personally, you know, and you know, it's a lot of struggles being an athlete, particularly representing smaller nations like the Bahamas, you know. And when you get on that world stage for us, you know, we have certain expectations, you know, and we know when someone has done their best, you know. So I'll just even give an example right now. Ken Mullins, you know, I think he was our first decathlete.
Yes.
And though he finished 13th, which I think was still sort of in the sort of top half
yes.
of all the competitors.
It was something to celebrate.
Right, man, this man, personal best on both throwing events and did two seasons and had two seasons best in two other events separate from the throwing events. You understand? So that's four seasons best in the 10 events that he did, and he finished 13th. So, and then particularly with his expectation, he did exceptionally well, you know. Another one who I was really looking at and expecting to do well was Rima Odeba. But in her defense, you know, she had a long collegiate season. If I'm not mistaken, she just won the NCAA title.
Man, all the athletes competing all over the world, man.
Right.
I appreciate what you're trying to say, but all the athletes competing.
Right. That's true. Right. But she threw almost 10 meters below her season's best, which is also a personal best, you know. You know, I used to play sports back in the day too, beat soccer.
Mm-hmm. And you win a medal before of some sort?
Yeah, I was one of the players that went to Switzerland. I played with the Sable Dancers, based in Basel, but representing the city of Bern.
That's when you was in fat.
Yeah, that's this is a while ago now, you know. I was the goalkeeper, mm-hmm. you know. And one thing that's always important is to perform on the big stage, you know. Mm-hmm. Me as a goalkeeper, I had ways of hyping myself up when we play against the U.S. and stuff like that. I also played some periods in that game when the Bombers actually beat the USA in a beach soccer match in Switzerland, you know. So, however, when we're looking at our athletes today, I say all that to say this, you know, sports psychology is actually a major thing. And I'd be interested to know if there's someone who's kind of filling that vein involved with Team Bahamas, you know, because some of us, you know, it's a very bitter, sweet Olympics from the Bahamian perspective for me. And some would say a little more bitter because our two, you know, highest ranked athletes, our greatest athletes, both of whom are Olympic defending champions, Shawnee and Steven.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to get to them soon.
Right,
and I see you getting ahead of me, right? Yeah. Our 4x4 mixed relay team was a B group. Few Bahamians actually realized that we were a B group. We
right.
were not one of the top part of the people who made it absolutely in the first tier. We came in as a second trial to make it there, but we did.
Right.
We had the team of Miller. We had the team of Gardner. And, of course, they had a controversy with the young lady, Adley.
Right.
And then the gentleman, I forget his name, Russell, I think is his name.
Yeah, Alonzo Russell. Alonzo yes. Russell is a veteran. I think, if I remember, he was actually around from the days of the Golden Knights even.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we came in as a B team. But it got Bahamians excited that we won a medal at the World Relays for that B team and that we're going into the Olympics to participate. But we had one of the slowest times
right.
going there. So if you were watching the sport, you would say, boy, more than likely we might not medal, but we go in there to compete, right?
Right.
And this happened. We saw that we had almost an entirely different team besides Russell.
Yeah. Right.
Who participated in that 4x4. And we was wondering, what happened?
Oh, yeah, yeah. From I saw that, I was wondering and fretting and wondering if
I don't know about the emotions. And today's show is the emotions of Bahamians and
right.
what it was the emotions that you felt when you saw that the whole team changed.
Yeah.
The two stars that we had in the race did not show up or was not there.
Right.
What emotions that you felt?
Well, as soon as I saw that, I felt a little deflated, you know, because I knew, as you said, you know, though we had these two megastars, defending Olympic champions, our times really weren't that highly ranked on a global stage, right? But when I saw that both of them weren't competing, you know, I felt deflated because I know it'd be extremely difficult for us to advance from there. And that's exactly, of course, what happened, right?
So this is my question to you. Duty of care. You, earlier you said when you represented the Bahamas, when you was in Switzerland, you showed up. When it's time to represent the Bahamas, you showed up. You psych yourself up now because you're on a global stage. Now, I'm not sure what happened, why the other one, two, three persons did not run. But does someone have a duty of care to explain what had happened to the Bahamian public? And not necessarily explain it after the Olympics and everything died down, but explain it in real time. Should the BOC, the Bahamas Olympic Committee, should they have come and said, by the way, we are changing our team, and this is the reason? I mean, we can't complain. they just tell you what it is. And right. I say, okay, no problem.
Of course, this is something, you know, Bahamians and fans would expect. You know, we want to know what's going on because we're very much invested in the Olympics and any representation of the Bahamas, you know.
What do you mean we invested inside the Olympics? These persons are representing themselves. They're not representing us, is it?
Oh, yeah, they are certainly representing us, you know, and people have a lot of national pride. So, for example, you know, there's those saying that, I want to hear my national anthem played at the Olympics. That means you want someone to win something, you know. So it is a lot of pride connected to it, particularly in the Bahamas, where we sort of thrive on this global prestige and global reputation. Hate it or love it, you know, tourism is our number one and strongest industry here. And when that does well, you know, it's a feeling that the Bahamas is going to do well, right? But at the end of the day, it's something that we do. However, to play devil's advocate in a way, from the athlete's perspective and from the coaching camp's perspective, you know, even me myself, though I was never on a global stage like the Olympics, however, you know, when you get injuries and stuff like that, you know, it's a lot of psychology, as I was saying, that goes into these things, particularly when you, though they are representing themselves and it's an individualistic sport for the most part, and you're going up against these people. So a lot of times, you know, people don't want the world and the public to know that there are all these injuries, right?
I ain't get there yet. But I see you leading me, right. And I say, I can pull you back, right. I ain't get there yet.
But to speak to that, yeah, you know, I think we also do have a right to be critical. You know, we certainly do have a right to be critical and to wonder what's going on. You know, that's the nature of sports. It's competitive. And we as Bahamians, you know, our culture, we are a very, you know, passionate people, particularly, you know, even things that don't involve the Bahamas. When you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys and the Miami Dolphins and all these things, LeBron James Jordan argument, you know.
Beforehand, before the naming of the team for the Bahamas Olympic team, there were rumors that a Shawnee Miller Weibo would not run. Did you hear any rumors like that? Like talks around the town saying, she had an injury. I'm not sure if she's going to run.
Yeah, well, I was hearing that. I mean, I didn't hear that specific rumor, but I knew that she was injured. I know that she recently had a child, I believe.
Yeah, but it's a year ago. We're not going to think of it. We're talking about the injury.
And then, right, and I heard that she was injured. So, but then when I heard that she was named there, and then I actually was at the World Relays, and I saw her run, and she looked pretty good to me.
And in fact, during an interview of the BAAA, they asked again, media, are you sure Shawnee is running? And the response was, she was named to the team. Stop. Don't be acting this that foolishness.
So once she's I saw her, that's what I assumed too. Right?
Yeah. So I said, okay, I should run.
Yeah.
Then there was a car talk that they wasn't even sure that she was in Paris. And I said, again, the woman injured, I can't be pushing, right? I'm just happy that she's named. Then Anthony Strawn, I think that's her name.
Anthony Strawn, yeah.
She made a pronouncement that she couldn't run.
Right.
I want to, again, part of the show is the emotions of the Bahamians in terms of our culture.
Right.
How did you feel when, because she was our second top 4x4 runner.
Right.
When she announced that, man, I injured.
Oh, yeah.
I injured. I can't run.
Yeah, that was another devastating blow to Team Bahamas, you know. And
was you mad at her?
No, I wasn't mad at her.
Did you understand?
Of course I understood, you know.
If an athlete say they're injured as a Bahamian, would you understand?
Oh, yeah, certainly, you know. And I think that at the end of the day, though of course we might not like how certain things going on from the athlete's perspective, again, I could promise you every single member of Team Bahamas wanted to compete.
Yes.
You won't win.
You won't win.
Compete. You dedicate your life to a specific sport, sometimes a specific discipline within the sport of athletics. And you dedicate your life to training to this so that you could represent your country. And many of them, make the ultimate sacrifice, things that we able to do, as regular people, eat what we want and do all of these things, go out late, drink. A lot of athletes don't have the privilege to do that, particularly those sports that rely so much on your physical health and your physical capability, right? So I'm sure that Shawnee wanted to run it. I'm sure that Stephen Garden even wanted to run.
Let's talk about that.
But it's the ways that they went about certain things and how things like that.
I'm getting ready to read Pauline Davis' Facebook, social media.
Right.
And everyone know that Pauline Davis dedicate herself to the Bahamas in sports.
Oh, yeah. A big fan.
When we don't not having that response from the Bahamian public in terms of showing up at the stadium, they call Pauline Davis.
Right.
When they needed to have us be represented internationally, they called Pauline Davis.
Certainly.
So when she takes Olympics, first of all, and Bahamian track and field personally.
Yeah.
Right? She lives it. She represents the country at a particular type of level where her sacrifice is so extreme. You say, okay, that's just Pauline Davis. But I'm getting to her, right? I want to now know the emotions that you felt when Gardner said he could not run.
Well, he didn't say he could not run. I just saw when it was a did not start. I was looking at it. I was looking for him. And then I went on the live, Olympic site. And then I decided the DNS did not start. And at first,
how did you feel?
Man, I was angry at first, to be honest.
Why were you angry?
I was angry. Because, again, we have so much, it's so much that we rely on with the Olympics. The Olympics is something as Bahamians and actually every nation in the Caribbean, for us, it's something where we truly on the world stage. When we talk in global politics, when we talk in a round seat, let's just call it the proverbial economic table, we way, way, way in the back of the line. But when it comes to the Olympics, we love these things. And of course, we naturally love sport. And Stephen Gardner, for me, he was the one. And I was talking so much to all my friends from all over.
You're a Shaw medal.
I thought that was a Shaw medal.
More Shaw than Shawnee Miller, you ever?
I think so, too, because we knew that Shawnee was injured. I think that's the big difference. And I also, not to cast no aspersion, but I think that she has a much better decorum with the Bahamian people than Stephen Gardner does.
I reached her. You see a girl, step by step by step by step.
Yeah.
Right? But I appreciate it. I like how you throw in the nuggets. I just can stop you every time you try to throw in nuggets before I reach that. I seasoned this. Right? So the response that or reasoning for Stephen Gardner not being a no-show came from his publicist.
Yeah, right.
The people who manage him, his personal team.
Yeah.
And this is where I felt, so what about the BOC? The B3As and those people. The people who managing our team, our narrative, our explanation to us. Remember I said the duty of care, right. Someone supposed to have a duty of care to us as Bahamian to explain what is happening. Like I said, unfortunate things happen. I call with that. But someone's supposed to have a duty of care to explain the unfortunate things so I can understand, so I don't. To me, I jump to conclusions quick.
Yeah.
Right? I analyze things quickly and say, what is going on? Right? At that same time when he was a no start, whatever, right? Jamaica had about 3 or 4. Right? Rest of the Caribbeans had about 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And people, Bahamians, I'm not sure if you did, started wondering if it was a boycott. Did you have that emotion to say that was a boycott?
Well, I like I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. People have to realize from the top down, from a soccer perspective, from FIFA go down, there are so many issues, different issues, particularly when you look at the Caribbean nations with the governing bodies and these sports agencies. But at the end of the day, these are these athletes' dreams, so they want to run in the Olympics. They want to win these medals. So I don't think it was like that per se. However, I do think that he should have come out, and been genuine with the Bahamian people. and I guess in his defense, you know, he is one that does take a lot of flack on social media. And if you follow any of them on social media, particularly Stephen Gardner, you know, you would see the type of flack. We don't need to get into that today, but you would see the type of flack that he gets. So maybe he feels a little guarded in that regard. But certainly, you know, it should come from one of those official institutions or even from Stephen Gardner himself, you know. And, you know, he may have been really devastated at the fact that he couldn't run and probably just wanted to shelter himself from the world. You know, everybody responds to things different. And I could promise you, for him, there was a certain level of trauma with him probably not being able to compete for whatever reason.
I'm sure.
It is, right? But at the end of the day, you know, he has to realize that he's not just a global star, but he is our star.
You think that he owes us a duty of care too?
I do feel like that, you know. I certainly do. And I think that we would have really benefited more, it would have gone on over much smoother. You know, you see it happening with other athletes, you know, even those that underperform. There was the Jamaican 400-meter runner, surname Price. And she was she's, I think, ranked number 2 in the world right now. And then she faltered in the race, you know, for some reason or another. She was another one of those collegiate athletes. Mm-hmm. So she had that long, grueling season, a little bit more than the regular professional athletes. And she wasn't able to pull through as people expected, you know. And she actually went, did an interview with SportsMax, who did, you know, an excellent job. And she was very apologetic, you know, and she gave it through, you know. Even if you don't want to talk, you could still show face and say, listen, man, I'm so devastated, I lost words right now. But that would at least bring some level of context to the Bahamian, right, and closure to the Bahamian public. You know, we at least know, you know, something wrong. But and then people were just disappointed. You know, I think that even after, when passions cool a little bit, the Olympics is over, and we look back in hindsight, we realize that some of our athletes actually did really well.
Go there too, because I believe that each athlete, because this is the largest contingent we've had in a while. I believe this might be the largest contingent ever for the Olympics.
Right.
And each athlete perhaps needs to be given a certificate of attendance, certificate of performance by the Prime Minister. Just give everyone to man. We appreciate you for going to the Olympics.
Something for sure.
No property now. You got to win to get a property. not 40,000 now.
Yeah,
no, right. That's for people who win.
No, but give them something. That's
no, thanks. Maybe a trophy.
Yeah, no, man. I think it needs to be something. The certificate and the trophy is good too, but I think it needs to be something a little more meaningful.
You want
to
give them property? Hey,
I wouldn't even say property. Maybe you could say, like you say, property is for those who win or who medal or something
We give more money than the United States. United States don't give the athletes much money. They give 30,000, we up to 40,000 and property.
But the United States have endorsements, you see. So the government actually don't have to do much in the United States. The United States have all these major corporations. If you watch the Olympics, especially like on one of those stations like NBC, one of the American stations, that's all you see. You see an athlete you never heard about in your life, fences and all these different people. Having big time commercial and prime time Olympics, and they are certainly getting handsomely compensated for that. Though there is also the flip side of Olympic athletes, for the most part, being very much underpaid. So the American ones, you know, they get a lot more support than, say, of course, the Bahamian ones until you start winning. So I think that there should be a subvention. Sports is something that does the community very well.
But our government sponsors all athletes in the college or competing internationally. They get some kind of subvention. At one point in time, Shelly Ann Fraser Price got a DNS. Sharika Jackson got a DNS.
Right.
Of course, Stephen Gardner got a DNS. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Watkins got a DNS from Jamaica. Sean Bailey had a disqualification. Ungando Alexander, a DNS, that's from Dominica. Jose Gonzalez had a DNS. And of course, Shawnee Miller Uyebo got a DNS also. You know, that cost a whole fright.
Oh, yeah. Right? And you think we up in arms over that, boy. In Jamaica, they really up in arms over Shelly Ann Fraser and Jackson.
We're more subtle than Jamaicans. Jamaicans got passionate and loud, right? And of course, when Bahamians stuck up their head to get, not loud, but just to whisper that their disapproval, they get shut down quickly. No, how dare you question our athletes? They're beyond reproach. They're beyond critique. I just found that odd.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a particular article right? At least, let's see if I can find it whilst you speak, right? It was a, I found it, Pauline Davis social media Facebook post. And she got a lot of slack. My man, she got some praise too, no? She got some praise. Bahamians who were frustrated, not understanding what was happening because there was no narrative being given by the BOC, by any media company who's on the ground in France. Even the idea that, ZNS was in there airing whatever it is, even though they said they sent some art leaks, right, some media coverage there. One was assuming that they would have gone to our athletes, interviewed them, have that interview, that we could say, we understand. That was not happening. Right. This was what Pauline Davis, veteran Olympian, perhaps the most decorated. I'm not sure if most any people in Bahamas appreciate the fact that she's our most decorated,
certainly
received the most medals over all those other athletes who we call in terms of the Olympics. So she, if anyone could critique.
Certainly.
She represents.
We listening to what she got to say, too, for the most part.
And her Facebook post went as this, right? I'm trying to read it off my phone. Dear fellow Bahamians. So she's addressing Bahamians at large. She wasn't talking to no specific athlete. She's specific on who she addressed. She said, dear fellow Bahamians, I completely understand the importance of health in all sporting endeavors. But it comes down to this... But it comes down to this, respect in bold. Respect for your country, respect for your fellow athletes, coaches, and your people. Never do you not show on the line without explaining beforehand. And of course, we had a commentary about that. We need more explanation.
Right.
If you are injured, pass the baton to others. Do not come to the games. Today, I cried for my Bahama land. I feel the tears of my fellow countrymen and women. My heart aches. It's not about the medals. It's about respect and love for our Bahamas. Love you always, my beautiful Bahamas. You will always come first for me. And she signed it, Pauline. I like how she put signs. I just put my whole name. Right? She signed it, Pauline. That's a term of endearment. I just want you all.
Right.
Right? She said it's a matter of respect. He ain't about the medal, no, she said. He ain't about the medal, right? It's about you. If you have health issues and you know it beforehand, it's about let us know. Apparently, that's what she said.
Right.
And I want to know what you're feeling because people get injured whilst they're practicing.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Man. And something is unexpected, right? But she ain't talking about that because I'm sure she's been injured without preparation.
Right.
But she's talking as if she had some kind of insight. Or may have known something. And maybe you know, right?
Maybe, yeah.
And she said, if you are injured or have a series of injury that you know about, let the people know. Or let the people, the organize the management team aware so decisions can be made.
Right.
I don't want to know what you think about that.
Well, for the most part, you know, I agree with what she was saying. You know, again, we have... You know, I don't know if he realizes how much we support him and how much we was looking forward to seeing him run in the Olympics, you know. And, you know, absolutely, health is very important, as she said in the beginning of her post. But at the end of the day, it's about respect, you know. And I remember when I used to represent the Bahamas, you know, there was no greater pride, you know. It was something that you very... very, very proud of. You know, when you hear your national anthem and you line up and all of these things, it was something that made me very proud. And that's what used to hype me up, actually, just hearing the national anthem and these things. So to represent your country on the global stage, on a stage as massive as the Olympics, as a champion as well, I would agree, you know, and, you know, I would have liked for that to happen. But we don't know. And maybe she knows something that we don't know, right? So I speak in from, but I don't know, so...
But let me ask you this. Does she have the right to post it, though?
Well, that's one, I think, that's a matter of opinion, you know?
What's your opinion is?
Right. Well, in my opinion, what I would have done if it was me, I don't know the type of relationship that she has, but as a veteran, as, you know, our most decorated track athlete of all time... I would have definitely tried to give him a call personally or give some member of the team.
She ain't called no names. She ain't called no names.
Personally, but
She spoke to a Pacific. Who did she address?
We know who.
No. In the letter, who did she address?
She didn't address anybody.
You don't have to write it. There who? There who? What
but
it
given the timing.
It said there who?
Huh?
She said there who?
Bahamians.
Now, she's talking to me. Right. Now, you telling me that she don't know me. She need to write me personally and tell me in secret that you're trying to say. But even though she ain't know me, how I can get to know
I would have I would have messaged Steven.
But she ain't talking to Steven. Don't be adding things into her narrative.
And I would have messaged Shawnee.
But she wasn't talking to them. She was talking to me.
Right.
How do I get the message?
Yeah, and I would have seen what have happened. You know, you never know.
You still ain't telling me how I can get the message, you know? Explain some kind of smoke signals. You're saying I can get the message, right?
Man, we get WhatsApp. We get all of these things. And see, social
if
media.
If she'd WhatsApp me, guess where I was going to post it?
You're just going to...
See, you know me. It's going to be on my page. And it's going to go viral. Right. Wow, she might have to put it on her page. Put it on her page one time so I can share it.
I wouldn't say she's wrong what she said. For me, though, particularly, you know, as a part of that sort of, you know, track fraternity, if you will, because it could be perceived as this, you know, adversarial thing going on between our former athletes and our young athletes. And that's something we definitely don't want to see, right? But
there are some who would say that exists.
But one of the reasons we love Pauline so much is because of her passion.
Yes.
On and off the track. You know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, she's one of my favorite athletes of all time. You know, Pauline Davis Thompson. When people ask me that, as I always say that, and a lot of people would say, well, who is she? I speak with Lassa, one of our greatest track athletes of all time, you know.
One of my fondest memories with Pauline was when the Bahamas won Charifta. After that, she ain't win no more. Yeah, she ain't win no more.
Right.
She, pardon me there, she scrap it out. She said, no, the Bahamas need to win this and I can put my all on the field. Right. No matter how my ankle twists, whatever it is, she say, I risking all. Because this is the Bahamas I'm representing and we home. And she tells the story, but she put all on the field. Yeah. I mean, that's every time I think about her and when I critique it, because I critique everybody, as you know. Yeah. I don't care who he is. I can critique, right? She put all, always. And when she made that commentary, I understood. But I want to read this. I want to see if you agree to this. The Olympics is not about winning a medal. It's about the competition. The Bahamas need not ever win a medal once we show up, perform, and make sure we have good sportsmanship. How do you think about that?
Well, me, I'm a
competitor. So the medal is a bonus, man. If you win one.
It is a bonus, right? But the sports are competitive. And people going out there to try to win. And we know, again, we know our athletes. We know certain expectations, right?
You know Bradley Cooper?
So, I don't think I do.
That's before you, because you're young.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Him and Ferguson. What's Ferguson's name? Oh, God. Shawnell Ferguson.
No, I don't think.
This is just my era.
All right.
And they were the premier Bahamian athletes.
Okay.
They never win no medal.
Right.
Bradley Cooper,
we used to medal now, you know. Those people, of course, they are pioneering figures that opened the doors to many of our athletes. I'm sure who went on to do great things. But when we're talking about the early 90s forward, you know, this is when we started to know what it is to be victorious and not even just in the sprinting events. Of course, we always had consistently world-class quarter milers, several world-class quarter milers. I would say that athletes in us having the biggest team, this is a period where we don't have all of those world-class quarter milers that we used to have, that we used to enjoy and be competing for medal every single time you see the 4x4 relay. Now we don't even have a men's 4x4 relay team. So that's one of the bitter sides of it, you know. But one of the good sides is people like Wanya McCoy, you know, 21 years old, advanced to the semifinals in the 200. Didn't look so strong in the 100, but in the 200, you could see that potential that he had. And of course, he was up against an incredible field. But at the age of 21, and given the way that he was running, I think that he has great potential. You know, we have people like Charisma Taylor, who advanced to the semifinals in the 100-meter hurdles, but missed out in the triple jump. She competed in two events, right?
Let me ask you this. Did the BOC did an awesome job, Yeoman's job, in terms of promoting who all was representing the Bahamas in this Olympics?
I personally don't think so. particularly when you look at it relative to other places. And I think that many different, the drop in the ball came from many different places, not even just the BOC, you know. But so, for example, shout out to Julie and Alfred, you know, she represents for the whole Caribbean, the woman from St. Lucia, who won the 100 and came second in the 200. You know, you saw they had a whole big park with a big Titantron, and there were these places where you could go and watch the games. You know, you'll see these live events now. You're struggling to see the Bahamians participate. Sports Marks has been doing a good job. And
thank God for foreigners. So we've never seen none of our athletes running.
Been doing a good job. And I saw that they had some of these stations also been using people like Paulie and Davis, making some cameos and stuff like that as well. But at the end of the day, I think that we have the resources to have had our own sort of media team. I know that Sheldon Longley from here has been reporting back on the games, and he always does a fantastic job on keeping us updated. I actually learned so much about, because I a big track and field fan, Bahamian sports on the whole, whether we playing tennis, anything like that, you know, these things that I try to follow as best as I can. And I always get a lot of good information from Sheldon Longley. But of course, I don't think that the whole thing is enough. Whether we're talking about promoting it here locally on the ground, or even sending our own media team up so that at least after every game we could have our own interview. I don't know if it's some partnership with Sports Marks. Like I said, they've been doing a good job. But even still, I haven't, one of the athletes that I was watching, because when I used to do javelin back in the day. You know, I used to make the BAISS team for Queen's College every year. Mm-hmm. In my whole high school career.
That's the time when Queen's College never to win nothing, right?
No, man. That's the time we used to come second all the time.
Yeah, never win nothing. I know. Yeah, I was just trying to see which area you're talking about.
Yeah. No, but we used to come second almost every BAISS. And it used to be us in St. John's battling
For second and third,
of course. The big pink machine.
Yeah. Still. No matter how you're trying to water down the red, it's still bright.
I know, right? Man. Yeah. But, again, it's something that's a part of our culture, right? I know you was mentioning culture as well. You know, track and field is actually something that's a part of our culture.
Is winning a part of our culture?
It has become. And is it's becoming
expecting to win a part of our culture?
It is becoming a part of our culture.
Is demanding to win a part of our culture?
I don't know about demanding, but we could have high expectations. At the end of the day, you know, per capita, I don't think any nation produces so many world-class athletes as we do. You know, I look at our basketball team. You know, they just miss out on the Olympics by one game. And then you had this young fella, VJ Edgecombe. I don't know where he come from.
Yeah.
And then he was one of the best players at the whole tournament. And I think he's only, what, 19 or 20?
18.
Yes, 18 years old. There you go.
From 1992. Mm-hmm. I add up, see how much years? 92? That's over 30 to 32 years now.
Right.
See, I'm quick with that add math. That's quick math. Mm-hmm. The Bahamas has won a medal from 1992 to current.
Yeah.
This May, Lord, watch me get people mad. Don't jinx it, Cecil. Watch this.
Right.
This may be the first Olympics since 1992 that the Bahamas will not win a medal.
And this is why I say, you know, we've been a little spoiled, you know. We've become, like you say, we start expecting to win. Now, we actually do still have, as I would look at as a sort of outside medal chance with Devin Charlton. Mm-hmm. You know, we had three women hurdlers in the 100, and that was awesome in itself, you know. But again, I don't think, and when it comes to track and field, particularly the sprinting events and the quarter mile event, you know, we as Bahamians, we have come to not accept mediocrity. You understand? And we expect to see us at least there competing. I think that is the bare minimum for us. You know, we like to see us get to the final and compete for the medal, you know. So, for example, that time when Chris Brown came fourth, you know, he still received a lot of love. You know, he ran a great race. And even in the men's final just now, you saw Karani James. You know, I think there were six fellas that ran under 44 seconds.
Yeah.
And Karani
we
James.
We appreciate a scrap up.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't mind you could have fought in it.
Oh, yeah.
But once you see you put your on, the celebration.
We want to see the effort. We want to see the love reciprocated to us. You see, because we love you all, we support. And Bahamians, we very hard to please. One time, I had some guests here from away, and we went to a concert. You know, and this concert was an awesome concert, but Bahamians wasn't really jumping up and getting too sweaty and waving too much flag. This is actually Marshall Montano.
Okay.
You know, and some of my cousins from Trinidad came up in Marshall Montano before, and they're like looking around like, I say, no, mom, we having fun. You know, we just saying this.
Yeah.
You know, so we hard to please. We are hard to entertain. And when you see You have the majority of our support. You know, it could be one or two people that might not like you for whatever reason, but that comes with the territory.
Is this, you know? Is this something bad and sinister for being a person who's hard to entertain? Or is that just us?
I don't think so, man. You know, to borrow a term from Jamaica that's also popping in bombs, we just don't lotion that much. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's even a reason why people within like the tourism industry and sector would tell you that's one of the reasons why people like Michael Jordan and stuff frequent the Bahamas so much. Because we can just walk by and say, oh yeah, that's Jordan and all that, you know, but we ain't gonna have, you won't have that kind of fan craze that you see. But we do have a sort of fan craze to a certain degree on our Olympic athletes. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we feel like someone ain't trying too hard, someone's not communicating, or I don't see him, that they don't care to communicate, you know, I see him being the key word there, because again, we don't know as the general public exactly what's going on. Pauline might have had, you know, we know who she was talking about.
Yeah. She was talking to me, though.
You know,
she said, right. There behind.
She was talking to us. We know who she was referring to.
And I appreciate
to,
it. But let me read this. This is from a K1 Culmer, right?
Okay.
It's long, and I don't like reading these long things, especially my dyslexic self, right? But I can run through it still, because it's needed in the narrative, and I don't want to just me on one side, right? This is Kiwan Culmer, and he tied. I think Kiwan is a male name. He's one of my unisex names, right? Kiwan. He tagged Shawnee Miller Weber, saying, I urge the Bahamian public to pause for a second and write the right narrative about our representation at the Paris Olympic Games. To say Bahamian athletes are lacking pride is plainly and simply a slap in the face to us all. I assume we're talking about Pauline Davis, mm-hmm. right? The audacity to be writing, like, who he is. Anyway, let me go ahead.
Right.
Drop down. Hold on 2 seconds. Contrary to what any negative comments may say, I urge the public to be aware of what is most importantly going on in Paris. Tuesday morning at 5:28 a.m., Shawnee Miller, the best athlete the Bahamas has ever seen, I would argue Pauline is the best athlete, but anyway, that's just me, right? Is going to put her best foot forward in the 400-meter repechage.
Yeah, repechage.
Charge,
that's the makeup round. So if you don't make it and you get close, they just let you do another round. And the top two from each of those rounds, and I think the next two best times, they get to also advance to the semifinals.
In hopes of getting into the semifinal round. Tuesday morning at 6:30 a.m., Ian Kerr will fight for a spot in the semifinal in the 200-meter repechage two again round.
Right.
Wednesday morning at 4:05 a.m., Donald Thomas, a 40-year-old Bahamian, he old, legend, will put the country on his back once again in the high jump qualifiers. Wednesday morning at 4:15 a.m., Denisha Cartwright will make her Olympic debut in the 100-meter hurdles and fight for a spot in the semifinals. Charisma Taylor will put the country on her back once again in the 100-meter hurdles after narrowly missing the triple jump final by 4 centimeters. Devane Charlton, Bahamian world record hurdler, will do what we all know she always done, make Bahamian people proud in the 100-meter hurdles qualifiers. Wednesday morning at 4:25 a.m., Rima Atuba, Bahamian national record holder, will represent the Bahamas in the event. No Bahamian has competed since 2008 in the javelin throw. Wednesday afternoon at 1:05 p.m., Antoine Andrews will compete in the 110-meter hurdles semifinals after the explosive first round. Please note that he got 40th in the last spot in the ranking system to make the games. With the odds against him, he has already prevailed. Wednesday afternoon at 2:02 p.m., Wanya McCoy will compete in the 200-meter semifinals after an impressive showing in the heats today. Any comment contrary to this narrative at this moment is simply wasting the Bahamian people's time. So set your alarms off offer your support for these respective athletes. Our athletes continue to push forward, strive upwards, and progress onward. Good to say that Charlton is now in the finals. All the rest of those people have lay away on the side, and we thank them for their effort. We're having a break now, right? And we continue our narrative, because I also wrote something in response.
Okay.
Right? I also wrote something in response. I want to put that on the record, and I want you to comment to what I said, right?
Okay.
It's 10:52. This is On the Clock with Aaron Green. Of course, this is not Aaron Green. This is C.A. Nuri, and I have historian Christopher Davis with me, who is responding to the culture of us, the culture of Bahamians, and how we respond to the Olympic Games. We'll be right back.
In 2023, over 9 million visitors came to the Bahamas. This year, we plan on shattering that record. That's why tourism is everyone's business.
Paradise is not only found in Nassau, but throughout our 16-island destination.
No matter who you are or what you do, we all have a part to play in our tourism industry.
This is our country.
These are our islands.
This is our home.
That's why tourism is everyone's business.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. Wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet this boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hey, Bahamas. Ready for some eye-openers? Check out two brand new books by our legendary three-time PM, Hubert Ingraham. Get the tea on his amazing leadership and courage to buck the system. These books are for you, the game changers, movers and shakers, and anyone passionate about our nation's roots and future. Available now at Dungalik Studios, Logos Bookstore, the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and Chapter One Bookstore. Score your copies today. Celebrate our amazing legacy.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Planning a trip to the beautiful Bahamas? Look no further than Hertz Car Rental. With convenient locations in Nassau and Freeport, Grand Bahama, we are here to get you there. Whether you're exploring the vibrant streets and sights of Nassau or soaking up the sun in Freeport, Hertz has the perfect ride for your adventure. Book at our Freeport location at 352-3297 or Nassau location at 377-8684 or visit our website at HertzBahamas.com. All major credit cards accepted. Hertz Car Rental. Your journey starts with us.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. And of course, this is CA Nuri, and I'm holding on for Erin on her sports day for Fridays. And we're talking about the Olympics. We're talking to historian Christopher Davis, and we're talking about the culture of us and how we respond to Olympics and sports, and why we do things, and why Bahamians were uneasy, and why Bahamians were celebrating. First of all, I want to congratulate and give good prayers, good omens, good vibes to Devine Charlton. She has an entire nation on her shoulder right now.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It must be an awesome task right now to know that everyone is looking at you, especially when our two premier athletes, who the Bahamians expected, not a medal, no, goal. Mm-hmm. We expected goal from Shawnee, and we expected goal from Stephen Gardner.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yep. We didn't expect no silver or bronze. We expected gold. We went in there saying, well, at least we get two. Mm-hmm. Right. In fact, by extension, we expected a medal from what the Bahamian college who have the African name who do javelin.
Rima Odeba.
I expected a medal.
Yeah.
Right. Who else I expected a medal from? Those 1, 2, 3. I counted four. I counted four. And the German who during the 110 meter.
Antoine Andrews.
I guess that's his name.
Yeah.
And not even the people who during the high jump, because they had a Bahamian who does. Yeah. Thomas.
Donald Thomas.
I didn't expect him to be like top 10.
Donald Thomas is a former world champion.
I didn't expect him.
Well, man, honestly, for him, Now, there's a slight, I'm sure he's disappointed because he actually cleared the height that he cleared to qualify for the Olympics, I believe, would have actually gotten him into the final.
Mm.
And he didn't clear any heights at this Olympics. So the starting height, he failed to clear for whatever reason, you know. But Donald Thomas is up there in age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The man older than me. And I already long, long past my athletic prime, you know. And so, you know, he should be commended for even making the Olympics in an event like high jump at the age of 40, which in itself is amazing, of course. But I think he might have been disappointed. Might be some of us who are a little disappointed, too. I wouldn't know what happened to the other high jumpers, Mark. We used to have about three or four high jumpers. And I don't know what happened there. I don't know if they retired or, you know. But again, that's probably where, you know, we don't do a good enough job in promoting and following.
I think we didn't do a good, athletes, you know, good enough job promoting and following our athletes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. It's 2 minutes before we go. The Olympic team soon return home.
Mm-hmm.
You believe you need to have a motorcade?
I wouldn't say a motorcade.
What about a junk new rush out where both valley groups come out and the two valleys come out and support our athletes?
Man, certainly they should be commended for competing. You know, they are Olympians.
A medal from the Prime Minister put on all of their necks to say, well, we appreciate it?
Anything like that. But I think that might actually just rub it in a little bit.
National hero type award?
Well, I don't know. National hero for me, for athletes, is a stretch, unless they really, you know, accomplish and pioneer certain things. There are some athletes.
One big party, perhaps at the Dublin House. I'm trying to find out what you want me to do.
They could have something like that, you know, let's not call it a party, more like a function, if you will, to congratulate them. Again, I think that's what's more important. Forget the party and everything. I think it should be some form of subvention for all athletes
who are Olympians.
A bigger subvention than
okay.
Let me say that.
Okay.
You know, because again, those who are stars and those who are world ranking, those who compete in the Diamond League, you know, they're professional athletes, and so they are paid to do that. But those who in the cusp, and of course, we need to get people from the young. I think we need to branch out more. There are sports like sailing and stuff like that. That
game. Do you know they had breakdancing? Those he didn't mention. You know how many breakdancers I know?
Like, from the Bahamas.
Who gives us a list of activities happening in the Olympics that we could say, let me do a team and try out?
Oh, yeah, and our swimmers did well as well. The guy, his name escapes me right now, but he won his heat. And when I saw he won his heat, I was so excited. But damn, the swimming, it goes by time.
Yeah.
It don't go like the track and field. But shout out to all the athletes, man, at the end of the day.
Yes.
We have a lot to be proud of. Though we have some shortcomings, but that's just the nature of sports. We'll get over it, and it'll be all love once the drama is over.
And we brace ourselves for the next 4 years.
Yes, sir.
Yes. This has been On the Clock with Aaron Green. Of course, this is C.A. Nurin. I was holding on. I did my first sports show. I think I do a fairly decent job. I mean, I talk kind of about sports, kind of. If you squint your eyes. Hopefully my next guest shows up. If not, I can try beg. Do I need to WhatsApp your boss to ask if I could have you stay another hour for a different topic?
Well, we can see.
Okay, let me inbox him right now to see if it's possible.
All
right. Anyway, On the Clock with Aaron Green. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.